Welcome to a very special episode of Label Sessions Presents. Today, we're diving into our new Cyber Innovation Accelerator. Joining me are two guests, Jez Goldstone, who will be the director of our new Cyber Innovation Accelerator, and Nick Sherrod, director at Label Sessions. Today, we want to introduce our new accelerator and give you a bit of an inside track to why it's being created and how it is all going to work. Jez, let's start with you. You've led cybersecurity innovation inside major banks. Why is it that you think cyber teams should think about innovation?
So actually, it's not only the cyber teams that need to think about innovation. It's CTOs, CIOs, and business leaders that have got challenges that can be opened up by the right cybersecurity solutions. So from a business enablement point of view, it's actually outside of cyber that need to think about how to enable cyber teams. And then from within the cyber teams, it's about taking a stronger understanding about what role cyber plays in supporting and enabling the business. So it applies to chief data officers, CTOs, CIOs, as well as CISOs across organizations and product owners and leaders that have got, you know, a need to drive innovation. Really, it's about two perspectives, I think. One is from a cybersecurity team inside out. So it's how does the cybersecurity team from their internal viewpoint think about how to enable the business, not just to secure it, but to enable the business. And the second perspective really is an outside in, which is those CTOs, business leaders, product owners that need to be demanding more of the security teams.
And then, Nick, why from a Label Sessions perspective did you want to pick up on this cyber innovation right now?
Well, I think there's kind of two things. So as Jez was saying, the first of it is really about the wider business, which is there's a whole agenda just now in companies around trying to drive change and innovation through whether it's kind of rapid prototyping, pilots of different kinds, trying to get things into customers' hands quite early. And most of the time, that is held back. Well, it's either held back by the idea of security and approaches to that and the fact that it hasn't been thought through, or sometimes innovation teams, frankly, go quite rogue and start to operate in a way that's not very secure and not very safe. So there's a kind of problem in the innovation ecosystem in companies on the one hand. And on the flip side, I think that one of the reasons we set up Label Sessions was to kind of enable innovation in what you might call specialist areas. And there's a really sort of bizarre thing if you look at it, which is however you look at the customer research, you know, in the sort of B2B enterprise side or direct customer side, security is really important to end customers. And actually really important to the way they understand propositions and they think about brands and all these kind of things. Yet you hardly ever see innovation teams really latch on to security and cyber as an area that they should be, you know, should be focused around. So there's a real sort of opportunity there slash gap there. And I think part of the reason it happens is that there's very little skills overlap currently. So there's very few innovation functions or innovation leaders that have much knowledge of cyber and security, frankly. And also cyber security leaders quite often view their function almost through the lens of being, if you must, maybe compliance driven or a cost center to some degree. So I think there's a really interesting need to say, actually, people who understand innovation, or understand security, understand cyber, should be standing up in the business much more and saying, hey, this is really important, but it could also be a driver of customer value as well as internal value. But also we need to face into that as an innovation challenge, because it's not that you're going to do a classic design thinking project and end up with a cyber innovation roadmap. So it kind of seemed like this was just the ideal coming together of minds, where we talked to Jez before about his background being very rare in the world. And given the number of people we've interviewed through the process of building the Label Sessions roster, we know just how rare that is to have that overlap of innovation and cyber knowledge. And then our accelerator methodology is clearly reproven now in different places to get to good answers and also mobilize big companies around them. So it just seems like this was a kind of classic example where we could join some dots that aren't normally joined and create something that's really, really powerful.
So I would pick up on that, I think, Nick, which is to say that quite often cyber teams and security teams are seen as the business prevention unit.
Yeah.
And really the mindset should be to flip that into the business enablement kind of function.
Yeah.
The cyber teams, security teams really have, you know, unique insight in terms of how to manage risk. but it's really difficult to play two different roles effectively. You're wearing two different hats. And so part of the challenge is around the mindset of folks within the security teams is to feel that it's okay to, you know, help the business to take risks, because the business is in the business of taking risks. That's what they do day to day. And cyber risk is just one of the set of risks that businesses juggle. You know, you've got a fire risk, and you've got a, you know, moral hazard risk, and you've got, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So the folks that are working in the security teams quite often kind of view the world within the realms of that compliance and keeping the chip stable, which is absolutely, you know, laudable goal. But that's probably not really what the business needs. Businesses, you know, are facing global challenges. You know, if you're in a large enterprise, your competition is definitely innovating, and you need to enable your business to, you know, achieve the outcomes that it needs to achieve. Yes, in the safest way, but also by using the skills and expertise that the cyber and security teams have to identify opportunities that the business might not even think, you know, are viable. And to look at you know, change initiatives and projects and business opportunities as being, you know, the reason for the business to be there. And your role in the business is to enable the business. It's you know, if you think wider than just being the ballast at the bottom of the road, the boat, the ballast at the bottom of the boat that keeps the ship stable because you're a compliance function. It's really about how you can help to, you know, find the right opportunities in the organization and support those opportunities in the right ways.
Yeah. It's also interesting just as well, because I think what happens in practice is companies have this kind of learned bad behavior, where what happens is that because the kind of role of the security team in the business is around blocking things, or seen as around blocking things, teams are trying to make a new thing happen, then keep them away from
not their role.
Okay, perception of the role is to block things. Well, the teams that are then trying to make things happen leave them out of things until very late.
Yes.
Which then means that it gets sort of reinforces the behavior, because by that point there's a whole set of assumptions, maybe bad designs that have been made, things that haven't been thought through, which essentially means you also get this kind of constant unneeded cost that comes at the end as you try and make something scalable.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you're being critical as well, there is sometimes a little bit of a learned helplessness from security teams around, actually, isn't it a shame everyone comes to us so late, rather than saying, actually, are we actually set up currently so that if someone came to us with an early stage idea, we could actually do something more than say, sounds difficult, see you in 6 months. So this is really where we fit, I think.
Yeah. Have you come across the innovation thought? I can't remember, we probably shouldn't reference who came up with this, but the corporate antibodies idea, which is that, you know, control functions have an interest in the status quo. They want to keep things the same because that's within the known envelope of risk, generally, and they're incentivized to do that quite often. So whenever a change initiative comes along, the corporate antibodies come in and explain why you can't do something to protect the status quo of the organization. Really, that's you know, that's not the way that that businesses need their control functions to operate. They need to flip the mindset from a why not into a how to kind of approach. And essentially, the teams need to view themselves as business enablers.
That's also interesting. I really like your switch of why not into how to. And I think also one of the things which I also hope this accelerator can draw out is because of all of that organizational dysfunction, I don't think businesses realize the innovation that actually is already happening in security and cyber teams, because actually this is very much an area that isn't standing still. In some ways, you know, the pace of change here is really real and marked in terms of the range of new things coming through. So I do think there's also something here which is, you know, I hope that through running an accelerator process, we can also, you know, yes, we'll lead some change in the business, and maybe there might be things that the cyber and security team take on in the future, so genuine change. But also, I think we can reposition the way the rest of the business thinks about the security and cyber team. The rest, because there is lots of innovation there, just isn't giving the credit, and I think it isn't always shared in a way that the rest of the business can understand and drive more value from as a result.
Yes, I agree entirely. And you touched upon a kind of a third category. So I mentioned inside out and outside in. There's also an inside inside, which essentially, you know, is security looking at itself and innovating around the way it does things, the tooling that it uses to secure the organization. Is it exploiting the latest technologies, the latest innovations in the startup environment? Is it tracking, you know, the possibilities about how things are being done in, you know, different ways that then, you know, have a consequence on the efficiency of the security organization, how effective it is, and its ability to, you know, provide those controls and support to the business.
It's a really fascinating space. It's so complex, but so necessary. Jez, why did this opportunity resonate with you? What really excites you about this accelerator?
So what drives me about this opportunity? Really, it's an opportunity to share what my learnings have been over the last few years. I do see that there's lots of lost innovation, if you like, that are lost opportunities for innovation, where just thinking slightly differently and agreeing with the business owners and the risk owners that it's okay to not do things in an idealized way from a security point of view. You can have those trade-offs where you can say, well, if we did it like this, then it's more secure, but it means that this is the difficulty in the customer experience that's raised, or we could do it like this, which is a better customer experience, but there's some more risk attached to it. Now, that balance of you know, deciding that is not really a security team's decision. It's a business decision. As I say, there's businesses juggling many different types of risk, and the security teams should be allowed and supported and rewarded for helping to get that balance of risk right, not just reducing risk, because that's not really the way that the business needs to operate. Everybody can reduce risk by turning things off and not doing things. Like, that's the lowest risk thing to do, apart from it's a risk to your job. I've been involved in solving you know, many significant customer-facing business challenges that affected millions of customer interactions, probably multi-millions, which have resulted in, you know, that rare combination of better customer experience, better security, and lowering operational costs. It's very rare to find those three, but it can be done with the right thinking and, you know, allowing the organization and the risk functions to support that kind of viewpoint. I mean, I've seen many colleagues struggle to make the shift, the mental shift in this, from being, you know, being seen themselves as a control function, which they absolutely are, but also then taking the next step, which is to ask that, how can I help to enable this function by thinking differently, by reframing the challenges. So I really want to share this, and I want, you know, to enable more businesses to be able to securely innovate.
Incredible. And then, Nick, you mentioned methodology just a little bit earlier. How does the accelerator method work? How will this work in practice?
Yes, I mean, I think also people sometimes say, you know, or sometimes think the accelerator is all about doing things quickly. We make progress fast by doing things in a really focused way. So first of all, we look around the insight and the opportunities. So depending on the nature of the challenge we're going to take on around this, we can look at how other functions operate and some of those more internal things. But we can also look at the specifics of a new area of security threat or a new kind of area of innovation, and sort of map out where the opportunities for that organization are going to be. From there, that point, we then move forward into looking at the strategies for how we can tie together response to that individual threat or the changes that we need to make happen in the function and draw that together into a cohesive strategy. And from there, we then turn it into delivery planning and building in a case, whether that's for investment internally or whether that's to get the okay, so to speak, to make the changes happen in the function. So in terms of, we've got quite a setup process for going through those first steps. And then from that point, we can start to help people execute, or they can bring that back into their core team. But I guess the core thing of people to understand with the accelerator is we're kind of taking the focus and the dynamism that comes from the best innovation processes in the world. And then with Jez's expertise, linking that very closely to the latest thinking around cyber innovation. And then where we need to as well, we can then bring in other experts across the roster, which can be CTOs in different types of organizations in different sectors, or also leaders around things perhaps like marketing communication. He might be able to help us to communicate the value of what cyber and security can offer. So I guess one of the key things people to understand really is it's a very proven methodology that goes step by step through the challenge. But there's also a lot of flexibility there so that we can make sure it has the most impact for the individual challenge and also the individual brand and individual company, because some it may be that some companies have been talking about innovation in a cyber context more, in which case they start from one point. Equally, I know from some of the conversations we've had early on with people around this and some of the people whose, I guess, questions sparked the thinking process that led into this accelerator, there's a lot of organizations who really haven't connected the innovation words and the cyber words at all before, which is, I think, both are really exciting to us, but we're just going to go through those processes in a slightly different way.
Love that. This one is for you, Jez. Let's say I'm a CIO or industry leader. What should I be thinking about right now, and what conversations should I be having with my leadership teams?
So I expect that you'll be grappling with both the day-to-day technology change and access to data, and freeing that data, which has been termed data is the new oil. How do you take commercial advantage of all that data that you have? But also, things that are on the horizon. The rapidly advancing train of AI and large language models, but also slightly further out in terms of quantum, those kind of things. So you need to be thinking about how the organization needs to be responding to those challenges, which are global and happening right now. You should be thinking and talking to other senior stakeholders, like your chief information security officer or their equivalent, chief risk officers, about how you can change the organization's processes and structures to enable innovation in a systematic, responsible, controlled way, but gives freedom to enable and give permission to the control teams to think and behave slightly differently than they have been doing previously. Because I think there's a big difference between keeping the ship stable as it's operating today versus the change agenda. And those are two very different things. And it's difficult for individuals to wear those two hats. It's also about how the organization incentivizes and disincentivizes behaviors. So, if a control function is assessed on the reduced number of incidents, the zero outages, zero risk taken, then you get those behaviors. I very strongly believe that you get the behaviors that you measure. Quite often, you're measuring the wrong things. Let me give you a little example. And again, we should look for the source of this. But there was a airport, I think it was in Europe, where there was conflict between the passengers and the cleaning crews. The passengers were always in the way, and the cleaning crews couldn't get to do, to the areas that they needed to clean. And as a result, it wasn't very clean. Passengers were disgruntled. There was often conflict between the cleaning staff and passengers. They reframed the cleaning crew's job and objectives. They changed their objectives from being, you have to have a clean airport, to customer satisfaction. And that changed the dynamic of the way that the cleaning team work. So there was the number of complaints dropped, the interaction between the cleaning crew and the passengers vastly improved, and everybody got a really good outcome from the situation. It's a matter of reframing the the construct and the measures by which the control teams are operated and seen under, to give permission to have those open conversations about risk. It's also reciprocal, because I've seen situations where particular individuals or functions play the game. So they ask for the flexibility, but they don't necessarily listen to the answers that they don't like. And so you lose trust very rapidly when you do that with the control teams, because by giving an inch, you see that there's going to be, you know, more than an inch in terms of the response. So it's about that mutual respect and finding that right balance.
Really interesting, that, Jesse, that example as well. Also, it's interesting in terms of, even if you take the actual objective of genuine security, you realize where the flaws can be in a system. Because I was thinking, as you're talking about LLMs and the way I've seen organizations, you know, get excited and then get scared and then kind of move into a different era around AI and the different LLMs that are around. And it's interesting what's actually happened in quite a few corporations I've seen, where they kind of had the ChatGPT moment. And then people in innovation teams and marketing teams in particular got very excited about this and started using all kinds of different tools. At some point, someone then triggers something from a security function, but with an agenda around compliance. And so they then kill the whole thing. And what then happens in those organizations is you have official compliance with day-to-day constant breaches as people start to do their own thing in different ways, and with some official endorsement from leaders in the business because they kind of want to see certain things happening. So it's actually a really nice example where the kind of failure to be able to think through what security really means in this context, enable the business to go forward, but to go forward in a safe way. The fact that people aren't incentivized in the right way actually leads into a kind of a bad outcome for everybody, where it's it's not innovative, you know?
Yeah, you see performative compliance, where the reality is that people are doing different things under the covers.
Yeah.
I saw an article this morning about smuggling AI into the workplace. It might be a timing thing, because I'm sure in 10 years it'll be commonplace. And the control conversation, you know, will have 5 years even. The control function, you know, will have worked through. But it's also about not necessarily rushing and allowing the time for the right control balance to be. And doing the experimentation, supporting the experimentation. So let's do it in a controlled way with the support of the control teams. Yeah. And this is what I mean about structuring the processes of the organization, the control processes, to allow that innovation. Regulators do a sandbox where, you know, there is permission to have flexibility around some of the controls because you're looking to see how this thing might turn out. It's having that internal sandbox environment, if you like, where under the right controls, with the right agreement, with the right sign-offs, that some more flexibility can be given to those that are, pushing the boundaries of these things.
Before we wrap up, Nick, where can people learn about the accelerator and get involved?
As you know, Label Sessions is on every social media network under the sun, so you can send us DMs there and such like. Also, though, you can make contact through the website. You can, if you already have a relationship to Jez, of course, go and speak to Jez. But also, you can speak to any of us directly as well. So the first stage, there's lots of different things that an accelerator can become, but the first stage really is just to register some interest. We'll set up a call and we'll go through the things that are on your mind. We'll go through how the accelerator works, and then we can structure a way forward and find the right path. So the first thing is just a straight conversation.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much to both of you for joining me today, and to our listeners, thank you for tuning into Label Sessions Presents. Don't forget to subscribe for more conversations with experts that are driving innovation. Thank you very much.